My sermon title today is not just Hallmark Love. You probably just see that when you look at the screen. It's more than Hallmark Love. I want you to be sure that you catch that. Our scripture reading for the day, I won't read it nearly as well as Sammy did, but I'm going to read again John 13, verses 34 and 35. If you'll hear now the word of the Lord. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. May God bless the reading and hearing of this His word. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, inspire us and touch us and challenge us, and may we see love from a different perspective this morning. Amen. Jim and Larry were the best of friends, and Jim was a hopeless romantic. Larry, not so much so. Jim had gone out and bought a beautiful diamond necklace to give to his wife for Valentine's Day, and he could hardly wait for Valentine's Day to get here. He was so excited, he couldn't wait to give it. Really beside himself, was telling Larry about it, and not to be outdone, Larry said, "Huh, that's nothing." He said, "I went out and bought the finest belt and bag that money can buy." And Jim said, "That's great. I'm really proud of you." And he said, "Yeah, now maybe my wife can finally get that back and clean the work like it's supposed to." Wow. Valentine's Day. It's a big day. A lot of people really love Valentine's Day. But you know, really and truly, Valentine's Day is like many days. It's sort of a commercialized day. It's great for the card companies and for the jewelers and for the florists and the restaurants. They all love it, and rightly so. I can understand that. And it's great to go out and buy those things and do those things for those we love. It's great. So I like Valentine's Day. But we need to understand that if you really boil it all down, it's really kind of shallow. It's not the kind of love that the Bible speaks of at all. I think that when we look at John 13, we get a clearer understanding of what love is all about. And that's why I entitled this sermon, More Than Hallmark Love. Hallmark love is great, but more than Hallmark love is what we want to talk about this morning. Jesus says in this passage that we should love one another. Think about this. We should love one another the way He loves us. Wow. We need to love each other the way Jesus loves us. That means we love each other without conditions, without restrictions. We love people because of who they are. Not because of what they may become, but because of who they are. That's the way Jesus loves us. And then Jesus takes it a step further. He said, if you want to be known as my disciples, if you want to be known as my followers, then you need to have love for one another. So not only do I love you, but you need to have love for one another. Paul says it beautifully in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, three things abide. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. But, he says, the greatest of these is love. If you look through the Bible from beginning to end, the word love may appear more than any word in the Bible. The love of God, so rich and so pure, shared with us for the purpose of flowing through us to be shared with other people. Sadly, in our culture, in our society, we have so misunderstood the word love that many of us grow up with a very limited or distorted understanding of what love is all about at all. I've told this story before in a sermon, and many of you have heard me tell the story, and please forgive me for sharing it again, but it may be the best illustration I've ever used to help people understand what love is all about. I had a knock on the door of my office one day, and opened the door, and there was a young 12, 13-year-old boy. Very disheveled looking, clothes tattered and torn, always looked like he was, my mom would say, thrown away. every time he ever saw him, he was walking down the street by himself. He never had any friends with him. He never was around other people. He was always by himself. And frankly, I didn't know his name. I'd never had a conversation with him before. But he knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and I was embarrassed to have to ask his name, but I did, and I invited him in. And he came and he sat in the chair across the desk from me, and he didn't say anything. It was the most awkward moment of silence you can imagine it. And being a pastoral counselor, I was trying to get him to talk, and I was trying to get him to open up and share with me. And finally, after what seemed like an eternity, he asked me a question that would change my life. And this is the question. Can you tell me what it feels like to be loved? Wow. Can you just explain to me what it feels like to be loved? You see, I've never known how that feels. Let me tell you something, my dear friends. We cannot be content as the body of Christ until every single person on the face of the earth knows what it feels like to be loved. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're called to be agents of love and peace and reconciliation. If we aren't that, we aren't anything at all. As long as there's one child, one person, anywhere in this world who does not know how it feels to be loved, we cannot be content. Mission teams go out from this church all over the world. I'm proud of that. We build wells. We build houses. We send medical teams out. We do evangelistic missions. We do vacation Bible school. We do all these things. But you know why we do it? We do it so that we can go out and love one another in the name of Christ. But you know what else we do? We go out and love one another so that we too can be loved. How many of you have ever been on a mission team when you didn't come back feeling more loved than you ever felt in your whole life? So we go to love and we end up being loved. So giving and receiving love is what it's all about. That's the gospel, my friends. Giving love and receiving love. I was on a mission trip to Costa Rica. And let me just be perfectly honest with you. I don't know anything about construction. I'm just going to put that out there, okay? And my executive duty was to pick up stuff, you know, after, you know, whatever, bricks and wood piled up in a pile. Or if I really wanted to do something that was really skillful, I was able to take a shovel and mix cement. And basically what you do when you mix cement in these developing countries is you just go round and round and round and round and mix more rocks and more dirt and all day long. Basically, that's what you do. And there was a little boy that came out to the work site every day, and he was, like a lot of little boys, you know, I mean, he really was a pain. I mean, a pain. And the other kids called him Diablo, which in Spanish means the devil. And by the end of the week, I thought, you know what? That's a good name for him. I really think maybe he embodies that. You know, I mean, I'd be doing my skill duty of mixing the cement. He'd walk by and kick dirt in it, or do something else, you know, to try to get my attention. And he got it. He got my attention all week long. And by the end of the week, I had about had it up here with Diablo. And but you know, I thought I've got to do something. I've got to do something to see if I can't help this young boy. And I really did something pretty stupid. I said the kids all loved to play soccer. They had this makeshift soccer field. It really was terrible condition, and they had this old soccer ball that was falling apart. And I said to Diablo, whatever his name was, I can't remember. I said, I tell you what, I'll take you on in a game of soccer, one-on-one. How about that? Now, he was 13 years old. and played soccer every day of his life, and I had never played soccer. And but we went out on the soccer field, and he probably scored 100 goals, I guess, something like that, because he just ran circles around me. I couldn't. There was no way I could stop him. There's nothing I could do. But we laughed. We just laughed out loud. And when we finished playing soccer, I said, "Stand here just a minute. Just a minute. I'll be right back." And I went back to the place where we were staying, and I brought out a brand new soccer ball, and he had never seen a new soccer ball before. And I said, "I want you to have this." And I gave it to him, and his face just lit up. We left the next day to go to the airport, and as we were loading up on the bus, he came over to me and he grabbed me around the waist and he held on to me and he wouldn't let me get on the bus. And you know, that's the last time I ever saw him. That was 20 years ago. But I would like to think that maybe for the first time in his life, he experienced love. And maybe, just maybe, it changed his life. And maybe, just maybe, he passed that love on to somebody else. I don't know. But maybe he did. Maybe it changed his life. It certainly changed mine. Think for a moment about how Christ loves us. Sometimes we may look like Diablo to Christ, but he loves us anyway, doesn't he? He loves us anyway. Listen to me. Christ loves us when we're good, and he loves us when we're bad. He loves us when we love him, and he loves us when we don't love him. He loves us when we're not ourselves. He loves us when we do things we shouldn't be doing or say things we shouldn't do. He loves us anyway. He loves us without conditions. Do you understand that? He loves us unconditionally. Just the way we are. In my mind's eye, I can see Jesus making his way to express love to the poor and to the outcast and to the unlovable and to the lepers and those that nobody else wanted anything to do with. And you know something about Jesus? He would wake up, he'd walk through the church folks. He'd walk right through the church folks and make his way to love the least and the last and the lost. Like a magnet, he was drawn to people like that. He loved the people who needed to be loved more than anybody else. And it was Jesus who challenged us to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to love those who despitefully use us. And we're thinking, "Oh my, Jesus, why did you have to say that? I really wish you hadn't said that. You mean I got to love my neighbor? I don't even like my neighbor. You mean I got to love my enemy? For heaven's sakes, my enemy? I've got to love those who despitefully use me? Oh my goodness. Let me just love the folks who are like me. Those are easy to love. I don't want to love these folks that I don't like." But Jesus says, "Love as I love you." Now, I really believe this with all my heart. I'm very sincere. I believe that God puts at least one person, and usually more than one person, in every church, and it's their job to keep the preachers humble. I mean that. Some of you are not laughing. In every church, there's at least one or two. Their job is to keep the preachers humble. Doesn't matter how good the preachers are, their job is to keep them humble. And they're really good at it. Sometimes they're just really good at it. Let's put it that way. I had one in one of my churches that I would put up against any of them. I mean, she was the best. And she just happened to live right across the street from me. And, you know, I served that church for 4 years, and I didn't do anything right the whole 4 years. I always loved to fish my whole life, but she didn't think preachers ought to take time off, and she didn't think preachers ought to go fishing, so I would hide my fishing pole in my tackle box in the trunk of my car. I'd try to sneak out so she wouldn't see me going fishing, but invariably, She would see it, and she'd go down to the local store. I mean, the town we lived in was a huge town, population about 300. And everybody knew everybody. She went down to the local store, and she said, "You know that Troy's going fishing again?" I didn't strangle her, but I really wanted to. Well, she had been in the hospital and had come home from the hospital, and we Methodists were really good at taking food to folks who had been in the hospital. And my job was to take a casserole to her. Now, let me hasten to say I didn't make the casserole because I don't know how to make casseroles. But I was a delivery boy. So I went to her house, I knocked on the door, and I was praying, "Lord, please don't let her come to the door. And then I can take the casserole and I can put it on the front porch and write her a note and tell her who it was from." But oh my goodness, she came to the door, and there I was with the casserole, and I said, "Here." Do you know that every time that woman saw me after that, she told me how much she appreciated that casserole. And I discovered something that day, that the gospel is all about casseroles. It's all about loving the unlovable the way Christ loves us. Love, my dear friends, is a precious gift. It's a precious gift. It doesn't matter whether it's love between us and God or love between us and another person. Love is what we need more than anything else to sustain us, to encourage us, to make our lives livable, if you will. We all need to be loved like that. It's good for our mental and spiritual and even physical health to be loved. But we've got to understand something. That love has to be nurtured. It has to be cared for and has to be worked at very carefully. It's kind of like we go to a nursery and we buy this beautiful potted plant. It's just the prettiest one we've ever seen, and we've got to have it. We just got to have it because it's beautiful. And we buy this potted plant and we take it home with us, and it smells good and it looks good, and we want our neighbors to come over and see it, and we're so proud of this beautiful plant. But something happens and we get busy and we ignore it, and we don't water it like we should, and we don't let it get enough sunlight like it should, and we don't give it the proper temperature that it needs to grow in, and the next thing we know, it begins to wilt, and then it doesn't look so pretty anymore, and then we kind of lose interest in it, and then before we know it, it begins to die. I'm going to confess something this morning. Sadly, I'm living proof that if love is not nourished properly, it's going to die. It just is. We have to love one another. And we have to nourish that love and let it grow. But you know something? No matter what we do, no matter what we say, God loves us anyway. Isn't that amazing? No matter what we do, or what we fail to do, or what we say, or what we fail to say, God loves us anyway. His love is unconditional. There are no conditions. We're not worthy of that. But He loves us anyway. That kind of love is almost impossible to comprehend. It's only by grace that we can love one another the way Christ loves us. There's no greater story in the whole Bible to me than the story of the prodigal son. He did everything wrong, didn't he? He did everything wrong. He went and he lived in the far country. And you know, the far country can be our own house. You don't have to go anywhere to be in the far country except away from God. And that's what he did. He went away from God. But don't you just love that story? Every day the father went out and looked for the son. He looked down the road. He longed for the son to come home. And when he saw his son coming, he ran as fast as his legs would carry him and embraced him and welcomed him back home. That's the kind of love we're loved with every day by God. My goodness, friends, aren't we glad that God doesn't give up on us? We're a work in progress. And God loves us every single day. And listen carefully, God calls us to love each other the same way that God loves us through Christ. Let me close with this story. A dear friend of mine in college was a fraternity brother of mine, and he went to Vietnam. And two terrible things happened to him. One, he was captured and held captive in Vietnam and was tortured terribly. But also, he was near an explosion that burned him over 60% of his body. He spent 6 months in hospital. And when he came back home, I was not prepared for what I was going to see. His fingers had all been burned off of his hand, and he was badly disfigured. Didn't look anything like the person I had known. He was bitter, and he was angry about all the terrible things that they had done to him while he was in Vietnam. But several years went by, and I happened to be at the church one day when he made the announcement to the church that he had been called to go into the ministry. But more than that, he had been called to be a missionary, and that God had called him to go back to Vietnam to minister to his captives. And he did. He went back and he witnessed and he shared the love of Christ with those who had held him captive while he was in Vietnam. And I have been told that he led hundreds upon hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. Wow. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another the way I love you. And by this others will know you're my disciples, if you" what? "If you have love for one another." Hallmark love is fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun? But it's not anything like this kind of love. Not anything like it at all. Christ calls us to a higher and more sacrificial love than that. Will he know that we're his disciples? Will he? Will he know that we are his disciples because we have love for one another? Will he? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we tend to love only those who are like us. Only those who look like us and act like us, the same color, the same culture, the same political persuasion, the same socioeconomic background. We just tend to love those who are like us. Or if they're not like us, we tend to want to make them like us. But Lord, teach us to love others the way you love us, unconditionally. Amen. For 45 years, my dad was a United Methodist minister. As far as I know, there was never a Sunday when he preached when he didn't invite people to come to the altar and give their lives to Christ. And I would like to continue that tradition by inviting you to come to this altar to give your life to Christ or renew that promise you've already made to be faithful to Christ. You also may come and participate in Holy Communion. When you participate, remember that it was out of that unconditional love that Jesus gave his life for us.